one said that there's something worse than being Nancy. She has a husband. God bless his heart. Chapter number 8, verse number 28 of the book of Romans. We found the gold mine here. It's been there all the time.
Yes.
We begin to dig some nuggets from it. God has blessed us.
Yes.
Tonight, by the good grace of God, will be no exception. For how marvelous it is to know that we are the called. According to his purpose.
Yes.
Now the promise of this verse, remember, I've said to you, the promise of this verse hinges on two things. Them that love God.
Yes, sir.
Them that called according to his purpose. Amen. Now, the blessing is not on everyone.
True.
This is not for everybody. God made it, fixed it so. It would be to those that love him.
Amen.
And those whom he has called.
Amen.
So we might need to be a little careful about whom we say it's going to work out good. God's glory. Well, not necessarily so. Not unless these qualifications are met. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God.
Amen.
To them who are, underscore that article there.
Oh,
the called.
Yeah.
According to his purpose.
Amen.
That little word the will gain our attention for a moment here tonight. The is a definite article. That means that it refers to a specific person, a specific place, a specific group, or a specific thing.
Yeah.
Not just anything, but a specific thing. It is a definite article.
Yes.
Reversed from a or an and so on, it is the. When the Word of God says the, or we in the English language use the word the, we're talking about that particular thing.
Sure.
Not everything in the world that's like it, or not everything in the world of any fashion. So it is the called. Now, carefully tonight, I want to explore this and try to lay this thing out to where there'll never be a doubt in our minds as to whether or not we are the called.
Amen.
The called. We'll one of these days arrive at the latter part of this verse, but we hinge our thoughts tonight on this thing again. The called. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 12. We are called unto his kingdom and glory.
Yes.
You see that? Called unto his kingdom, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now, first of all, that verse tells us who the caller is.
Right.
God calls us.
Amen.
No one else can call us. God called us.
Amen.
I'm fearful, and I say this with some pathos in my voice. I'm fearful that many are called by the preacher.
Amen.
Called by the so-called soul winner.
Amen.
And never hear the call of God Almighty.
Amen.
Listen to me. The eyes of man must be opened.
Sure.
The ears of man must be opened.
Yes.
And the heart of man must be made mellow. That hard rock heart must be broken.
Yeah.
and mellowed. And only God can do that.
Yes, sir.
And when God does that, then man can hear the call. But until this thing of regeneration, don't ever get away from that word. Regeneration is that part of a salvation experience where God Almighty gets us ready to hear from heaven.
Yes.
It is the operation of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Word of God that causes man to begin to be mellowed.
Yes.
Begin to hear.
Amen.
Begin to see. And to understand that he is a lost individual.
Amen.
Yes.
Remember I said to you last week that Thomas Watson from the 16th century, a great preacher of the Word of God, said there are two things that a preacher has as far as his difficulty is concerned. First, he must show the sinner the horrible place where he stands before God.
Amen.
And secondly, he must assure the believer that his place in Christ is secure.
Amen.
If a preacher does that, I promise you, he's done a great job in this world.
Yes.
I think he could go to the other shore and God would smile because he's done the job that God's called him to do.
Yes.
And this verse, when properly investigated, shows us those two things. The horrible state of mankind before God calls him, and then the assured state of mankind once he is called by the Holy Ghost of God.
Yes.
In 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 9, we are called out of darkness into his glorious light. We are not anymore dwellers in darkness. Hear me. When God created this old earth, and the morning that he said, let there be light, that is a type of God moving on the heart of mankind and saying to that man, to that heart, let there be light.
Yes.
And when God says, let there be light, honey, the light is going to come on.
Yes. Amen.
And when God turns the light on, man begins to see.
Yes.
Remember, this thing of regeneration, God opens his eyes. Where he lived in darkness, God now lets him see the light. And that light begins to show him things that he never saw before.
Amen.
If you've ever traveled much in darkness, believe me, things can appear that are not there.
Amen.
I'm sure that you've heard me tell the story about our great-grandfather. He was a tremendous storyteller. I'm telling you, he could have wore the crown. And he had more tales about panthers. Now, you know how black a panther is.
Oh, yeah.
And you know how dark midnight is in Hazelwood Hollow.
Yeah.
Well, we'd leave perhaps, head toward the house. And I wondered why in the world anybody with half good sense ever carried a lantern. The only thing a lantern does is show the booger where you are. You'll never see him until he's got you. Is that right or is that right? You folks know ever carry a lantern? Huh? Any of you old enough to ever carry one of them little swinging lanterns?
Yes,
sir. Huh? Kerosene fuel, and it showed you your feet. And about a foot and a half in front of you and around you. That's all you can see. Now, what's that going to do to show you where the boogers are? That's all it's going to do to show the booger where you are. Is that right? More than one time, a whole lot of things appeared in that road and down that hollow and on top of those hills and through those trees as we were going home at night. But in the daylight, none of that was there.
Right.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
When God turns the light on, You're going to see the real thing.
Yes.
You're going to see yourself
yes.
and your sins
yes.
rather than all the things that you've imagined otherwise.
Right. Amen. Yes.
So God said, let there be light. And there was light. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, the Word of God says we're called to holiness. Well, now, doesn't that preach a while?
Oh, yeah.
If we've ever lived in an unholy land at an unholy time, here
Amen.
We are tonight.
Amen.
Yes.
We're on the verge of losing this nation. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know what to do.
Amen.
I've done everything I know to do. I've sure prayed.
Amen.
I've sure besought the Lord. I've confessed my sins and Ginger's sins and my sons and my daughters and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren and those who may come along further. I've prayed that God would forgive them for their sins as well. I've done everything I know to do, and it still looks like we may lose this
Amen.
Nation.
Right.
But now hear me. I said to Matilda back there in the booth tonight, in the midst of all of this, God can still
Amen.
Send revival.
Yes.
And it may just be that in the midst of this,
Amen.
God is going to shake the church and bring us alive. Show us, turn the light on if you will. And cause us to see the darkened condition in which we live.
Yes.
And show us our unholiness.
Yes.
For we are an unholy people.
Yes, we are.
Some of the things we do regularly, our forefathers would turn over in their graves if they knew what we did.
Amen.
I'm talking about our spiritual forefathers.
Amen.
God help us. We think we're doing fine, and we're in sin all the time.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 9. The Word of God calls it a holy call. Not only are we called to holiness, but it is a holy calling. Now hear me. No one but God can give a holy calling. The church can't do that. The pastor can't do that. Only God can do that. And that's exactly what Paul's referring to in his text. 1 Peter 2:19, we're called to suffer. Now here we are in the midst of a Wuhan virus. And now it's getting legs again.
Amen.
And people are getting fearful across this nation again. And churches are shutting down.
Yep.
The bars are staying open, but the churches are
Amen.
Shutting down.
Right.
Oh, there's something wrong with that.
Amen.
Something bad wrong with that,
Amen.
Brother
bad
Gary.
Wrong, yes, bad wrong.
When the ungodliness goes on and the church shuts its doors.
Sad. Amen. Shame on.
I'm grateful to God that we decided it would not be so. As long as there are two or three.
Amen.
As long as we can preach by the grace of God, these doors will be open come service time.
Amen.
Sunday.
Amen.
Now hear me. I said to my brother when this thing started and the churches started closing down, I said, so many of them will never open again. And one of the easiest things in the world for people to do is forget where the church is.
Amen.
Right.
They don't forget where their grocery store is.
Amen.
They don't forget where their PlayStations are.
Amen.
But they forget where the church is.
Amen.
Thank God that we're still having good attendance.
Amen.
In spite of all this mess that's going on.
Yes.
And in that, listen, God's going to bless that as he has already. God's going to continue to bless that.
Yes, he is.
Because we're making an effort
Amen.
To worship and to teach and to preach the Word of God. Called to suffer. And we may suffer much more.
Amen.
Not just the virus. We've got a worse virus going on in Washington.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Now, folks, our nation's in a mess.
Amen.
I'd like to tell you some things I know, but I can't do it. But I'm going to tell you something. There was some underhanded work going on.
Amen.
When you've got communist nations counting the votes in the United States of America, what's the matter with that?
Amen. Yeah.
What's going on there?
Amen. Something bad wrong with that.
I promise you there's something bad wrong with it.
Amen.
So we may suffer more so than the virus.
Amen.
I said 40 years ago, in all probability, before I leave this earth, the church will be underground.
Amen.
We'll be hiding to worship, hiding to rejoice, hiding to do the things of God. Hey, it's happened before.
Amen.
It's happened before. And the church survived. Isn't that marvelous?
Yeah.
And thrived. Yeah. Isn't that marvelous?
Yeah.
In spite of all the suffering that took place. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse 9. We're called to inherit a blessing. Well, hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you realize that on your horizon there is a blessing that you have not yet so much as literally heard of?
Amen.
I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him.
Amen.
Well, that ties into that verse, doesn't it?
Yes.
If you love Him, what a blessing there is out there. Words can't describe it. My vocabulary would fall far short of telling you what's taking place in the creation of our home.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
1 Peter 5:10, we're called to eternal glory, to His eternal glory. I'm going to start this year. Maybe ended up after a while, but listen to me carefully. There are so many people that are struggling tonight in houses of worship, being told that they can lose what God's given them.
Yeah. You're right. Yep.
Now that's a sad state of affairs.
Amen.
When people have no more faith in God than to think that He'll change His mind on what He's done. God doesn't change His mind.
Amen. He's the only one who does.
When God calls you, it is an eternal call. It's not a call for an hour or a day. It is an eternal call.
That's right.
You're called to eternal glory, which means you will be in glory for eternity.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
What's the matter with not understanding that?
Read it.
When God Almighty calls you, you have an eternal call. I'll come back to that. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we're called to glory and virtue. Now, virtue is a standard of right morally. That means that when God calls us into the household of faith, things change in our moral life.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Things that we did before are now sin to us.
Amen.
We sin all the time.
Amen.
But we make excuses for it. When God calls you into glory and virtue, you've gone aways.
Amen.
You've gone aways. And there's a lot more to that that I'll not get into tonight. Revelation chapter number 17, verse 14, we are overcomers. Called, chosen, and faithful. We are God's chosen people. This is a powerful passage. It is the beginning of the war. The Battle of Armageddon.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Now this is the first part thereof. It takes place before the millennial reign of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And the scripture says that all hell comes against the Lord Jesus. Christ appears with this army and destroys them.
Amen.
And the text says, then those that are with him. Wonder who that is. That's not the angels. No, no, no. You see who they are? Look carefully at it. They're the called, the chosen, and the faithful. Well, how about that? Now we know who they are. Now we're assured of who is coming back with the Lord Jesus to set up the kingdom on this earth. It is those who have been called. It is those, the chosen of the Lord God Almighty.
Yes.
Now, may I remind you that Jesus said in Matthew's gospel that there are many called, but few chosen.
Amen. Yep.
But these are called and chosen.
Right. Amen.
And faithful.
Yeah.
And faithful.
I
don't wish to pick an argument with anyone, but not everyone that's called is going in.
Amen.
There is a gospel call that makes you guilty before God. That will not save you.
Amen.
Because you're guilty doesn't mean you're saved. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Because you realize you're guilty doesn't mean you're going to get saved.
Amen.
It may harden your heart. Do you realize that the same message will harden the heart of one and break the heart of another?
Yes.
Amen.
Absolutely.
I remember the night God saved me. We were in a revival meeting at Union Baptist Church. Dayton Jones was doing the preaching. I was in the bass row of the choir. 8.5 years old, trying to sing bass. God help me. I'd go home and try to sing in a jar to learn how to sing bass. I'm telling you the truth. I sung it in a gallon jug, trying to learn how to make my voice deeper so I could sing bass. Somebody wanted to sing bass, did never did learn how. What I'm telling you is, the night God saved me, there were two of my friends, one on either side of me. God picked me up from between those two.
Amen.
And took me to an old-fashioned altar.
Amen.
And saved me by his grace.
Yes, he did. Amen.
And as far as I know, those two have long since passed from this earth and stepped into hell and prepared to meet God. Now let me tell you something. If you think the preaching of grace makes you proud, you're a foolish
individual.
Yes.
I'll have some more to me through the years.
Amen.
You see, I could have been one of them. One of them died a drunk. The other was killed on the battlefield. And as far as I know, neither one of them ever came to know the Lord Jesus. Folks, when God picks you out and chooses you
this
from among others,
yes,
it ought to cause you to fall on your face and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why me? Why me? Who am I? Who am I to deserve such a mercy? God help us.
Amen.
Moses is one of the called. Noah is one of the called.
Amen.
Abraham is one of the called.
Yes.
Jacob is one of the called. Did you ever hear the word or the name Cyrus? Cyrus. Cyrus was the king of Persia.
Yes, sir.
He had conquered the land from India to Turkey. And God had previously named him in prophecy in Isaiah 44. Named him in prophecy as being the one who would send the children of Israel back to build the temple that Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed. And when Cyrus came to the throne, 3 years after he'd been on the throne, he made a decree that the children of Israel could go back to Jerusalem and rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild the temple, and even gave them the funds to do it.
Yeah.
How about those apples?
Yeah.
Do you suppose God had called him before his time?
Yes, sir.
God even called him his shepherd. Isn't that amazing? But as far as we know now, look up here. As far as we know, he never knew the Lord God Almighty. Never knew him. Much to that that I could get into tonight, but it's not necessary. John the Baptist is called before his birth. Jeremiah is called in the womb as his mama.
Yes. Amen.
Glory.
Yes.
Hey, God can call you anytime. He calls us in young age. He calls us in old age.
Amen.
I remember when we went to Florida, the pastor. There was an old fella. Just the community drunk. And everybody kept saying, "Brother Larry, are you praying for him?" I said, "Yes, I am. Yes, I am." "When are you going to go talk to him?" "Just as soon as God gives me the liberty, I'm going to talk to him." So I'd have gone anyhow. Well, it wouldn't have done no good. I was praying for him. God knew the situation. So one day I was driving by and God said, "It's time." I stopped for a few moments. Sit down and talk with him. And I noticed every once in a while he'd take his old red handkerchief and do that under his eyes. I never did see the tears because he kept them here. And I finally said to him, "Do you realize that if you die in the state you're in, you're going to hell?"
Amen.
If I ever seen a man fall on the floor, that day that man fell on the floor.
Amen.
And began to cry to God for mercy.
Yes.
What, 2 or 3 months? He passed away.
Amen.
And we had his funeral.
Amen.
I was glad that I could say something good.
Amen.
About the community drunk.
Amen.
The folks had prayed for him. But it wasn't God's time. But you stop and think now. Here's a man, well into his late 60s. Been drunk since he left the service when he was mid-20s. And just aggravating to everybody around him. And he comes to his last days. He didn't know it. I didn't know it. But he comes to his last days and got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Does his work.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Now, folks, listen to me.
Praise the Lord.
Young or old, when God calls, you're coming in.
Amen. Amen.
When God calls, the work is going to be done. You can put her down.
Yeah.
It's a powerful call. The psalmist said in Psalm 110, verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the days of thy power. God will make you willing.
Yes,
sir.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. That bunch of Ites, Canaanites and Pezerites and Jebusites and all those Ites in Canaan, they weren't going to leave. Oh, we're not leaving. Israel can come, but we're not leaving. Guess what? God made them willing.
Amen.
God sent the hornets.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Now, if you know hornets, like I know hornets, you do not want to occupy the same space at the same time.
Amen.
And God sent the hornets.
Amen.
And he made them willing to leave.
Amen.
Let me give you something else. God put the children of Israel in grave bondage in Egypt. Do you know why that happened? To make them willing to leave. Are you listening to me? Remember, God always shows us a picture in the Old Testament to what he's going to do in the New Testament. It may be that God is going to make us so miserable in this world that we want to go home quickly. Get out of town. Powerful enough to conquer the stubborn, wicked will of mankind. God draws men. By the way, God doesn't drive you to the cross. He draws you to the cross.
Amen.
If you feel as though you've been driven, then you didn't get there. No, no, no. God draws you to the cross.
Right.
Down through the years, I've used this little experience that I had as a boy. When I hooked those horses up to the plow, to the harrow, whatever I hooked them up to. And I got behind that implement and I said, get up. I wasn't pushing the plow. The horses were drawing the plow. And when I said, get up, the plow started moving. Are you beginning to get the picture?
Amen.
God draws us. And when God begins to move, I promise you, you are going to move.
Amen.
God will draw you.
Yes.
Your stubborn heart will be overcome, and your rebellion will be slain, and you'll fall at the cross and cry for mercy.
Amen. Yes.
Yes, sir.
God in heaven grant us mercy. Deaf and ears begin to hear. Blind eyes begin to see. Satan's hordes begin to flee. The light comes on.
Amen.
Death loses its prey when the Savior cries, come.
Amen.
The call is of free grace and free grace alone. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 26, the scripture says, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Isn't that something?
Amen.
Isn't that something? There's a little passage, it escapes me where it is at this point, but there's a little passage of scripture when Jesus teaching us. The scripture says, and the simple folks understood.
Amen.
You see that folk, that bunch of people that were overcome with religion? They didn't hear.
Amen.
They were stooped in their religion. They had nothing that they could be swayed by. They had made up their mind, this is it, and they went to hell looking in the face of the Savior.
Oh, amen.
Because they were wise, noble.
Yeah, right.
God help us.
Amen.
I want to get this. It's an unchanging call. In Romans 11:29, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Now I'm going to sew this up tonight. I want you to get a hold of this. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance.
Amen.
I tell you what I want you to do. Say that with me. Well, it's up there. You can read it. For the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Now what does that mean, Brother Larry? That means that once God calls you, that will never change.
Amen.
Glory, glory.
I feel so sorry. And I mean that in my heart. There was a time that I'd just get angry about it. But for some reason I've moved beyond that, and I feel great sorrow for folks who attend church.
Amen.
On Sunday, and they're saved all day long Sunday, but Monday morning they wake up and wonder if I'm still saved.
Amen. Amen.
Now that is a sad situation.
Amen.
And they call us everything but what we are when we declare that God saves men forever.
Yes, he does.
If there is another verse in the Bible that is more clear than this, I don't know what it is. We quote John 3:16. We quote John chapter 10, John chapter 17, and so on and so forth. But what could be more clear than this?
Amen.
The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God does not quit in our redemption.
Amen.
God doesn't save us today and lose us tomorrow.
Amen.
God does not repent for calling you.
Amen.
Look up here and listen carefully. He ought to.
Amen.
There have been times I wonder why he didn't cast me in the head.
Amen.
Amen.
And if you're honest with yourself, you'd have to say,
amen.
Brother Lane, same thing with me. There are times he should have just gone ahead. But you see, he called us. Now look up here at me. I've heard preachers down through the years, never did believe a word of it. I mean, as a boy, saying, God's ashamed of you. Well, let me just tell you something. There ain't no nary never none of such a done. God has never been ashamed of you.
Amen.
He called you.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
He called you. A loving daddy has never been ashamed of his younger.
Amen.
Right.
He loves him, and he'll love him,
amen.
And he'll love him, no matter who he is, what he does, where he goes. Daddy will still love it.
Amen.
And even more so, the God of glory who said he would not repent for calling us.
Right.
Will never be ashamed.
Amen.
Of his children.
Amen.
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 Thank God.
Amen.
Thank God.
Now
he'll make us ashamed of ourselves.
Amen.
He'll bring us to our knees.
Amen.
But God will never repent for calling you into the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen.
When God saves you, you'll be saved a million years
amen.
From today.
Amen.
Because my God does not repent for calling you
amen.
Into his kingdom. I thank God
amen.
For that little promise.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, but Brother Larry, what if I Listen, we're not talking about what a few. We're talking about because he. Do you understand that?
Amen.
It's not you, it's him.
Amen.
Salvation is not what you do, it's what he's done.
Amen.
Salvation does not depend 1 minute on you. It depends entirely upon the Lord God Almighty.
Yes.
Amen.
And because it does, it is eternal.
Amen.
I give you this, and we'll close. I'm going to put John 17:24 up for me. Watch this.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you believe the Word of God,
amen,
and if you believe as this is, that this is the prayer of the Lord Jesus for you and for me, then this will help you to the graveyard and through.
Amen.
Here's what our Lord said. Father, he's praying in John 17. This is our Lord's prayer for you and for me. Father, I will. Now he didn't say, Father, I wish. He didn't say, Father, it sure be nice. But this is God saying, I will. Are you catching it now?
Amen.
God said, I will. This is not some arbitrary statement. This is the God of glory. The Lord Jesus himself speaking to the Father and saying, Father, I will. This is my will. Have you caught the wagon yet?
Yeah.
This is my will, that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou gavest me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I will.
Hallelujah.
I will.
Amen.
That they be there.
Amen.
Son, if nothing else in the world, settle it for this old boy, that puts the anchor down deeper than hell could ever blow it loose.
Amen.
Hey, Jesus said, I will.
Amen.
And I will.
Yes, you will. Yes,
you
will.
You will. We will, who are the called according to his purpose.
Amen.
Oh, bless our hearts in a time when we don't know which way to turn. But it seems like everything is upside down.
Amen.
We can look to the Lord and say, he said, I will.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, you will.
I will. Yeah. I will. Let's stand together. Lord Jesus, what a blessing to be the called.
Amen.
What a blessing to know that beyond the shadow of a doubt that you call us, and that call is an eternal call, an unchanging call, because literally it is a decree.
Amen.
From the God of glory.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you for the assurance of the Word of God. Thank you that it's not haphazard. Thank you that it's real.
Amen.
And it's eternal.
Amen.
Hallelujah.